So I want to ask, what exactly does the Ag Services Board focus on?
ASBs are responsible for a variety of aspects associated with improving the economic welfare of the farmer. Preservation and improvement of agriculture production requires coordinated efforts and frequent communication between the ASB, local institutions, and organizations. The role of the ASB is also to encourage good farming practices and farm safety. And then said, while performing all of the duties and responsibility of an ASB, the ASB shall remain accountable to the taxpayers. At the end of the day, we still, as an Ag Service Board, we're accountable to Big Lakes County. We do the advising and making up resolutions to pass forward to the county.
So obviously you guys do all of that. How has COVID-19 affected the operations and the members?
Oh, it's been terrible. We've had, usually we have meetings, hall meetings, whatever, to bring farmers up to date. None of that has taken place now, and communications. We've lost a lot of communication between our farmers and other board members. We talk to different members of the counties around us also. Usually meet three times a year or whatever, and sit down and discuss different issues. We have, with our provincial government handing down so much of our responsibility to the counties, we've kind of banded together, I'd say, in the Peace Country more so than all of Alberta. It's been, very interesting to see counties, instead of being one-on-one with provincial government or whatever, we've actually been banding together and making resolutions and bringing them forward as a peace country. So we've lost a lot of that. It's just, that added touch that we've been needing. It's been a very, very frustrating year.
Yeah, I can understand that. And obviously 2020 was kind of just a frustrating year in general anyways.
Well, you can back it up further than that. The last few years has been frustrating as far as the farming industry goes, and lost revenue, because of flooding and whatever else too. So it's been a challenge, put it that way, from the farming industry right through to us doing our trying to be responsible from the service board.
There is some downsides to the past couple of years farming wise. But what were some of the accomplishments or some achievements that you guys made last year or in the past couple of years?
I guess the big one is, I think it's 3 years ago now, we had an outbreak of clubroot in the county. Everybody was really nervous because of what the economic value, the loss that we could have from this disease. And I guess from the service board, our ag fieldman done an outstanding job getting out into fields over and above, doing her 8-hour day due diligence at work, and then get this all into perspective and bring it to farmers' attention, and canola being as important cash crop, everybody was doing, or a lot of farm producers were doing a 2-in-1 rotation, like 1 year wheat, and the next year be canola, back and forth like that, and then all of a sudden we're faced with 1-in-3 or 1-in-4 or 1-in-5, depending on the spore count, there's spore load in the soil of clubroot. So that was a big challenge, and I think it's got the point now where I'd say 99.9% of the farmers have accepted it and have had to change farming practices. Another one we've just done is an Alice program, and I think we've a program that's doing about a 300-acre infusion here in our county along the West Prairie River, which will try to keep the E. coli count down in the West Prairie, which runs right through High Prairie, right? We're all kind of looking forward and eager to see how that all turns out as producers.
You were talking about cattle right there. I know you guys brought MLA Pat Rainey to your last meeting,
mm-hmm.
And you guys expanded on a couple of topics, including fusarium concerns.
It's been really ongoing. We brought some motions forward to our provincial government on fusarium. They actually dropped the ball of fusarium into the hands of the counties in Alberta, not just our northern counties here. And the north has been fusarium free, basically, and we were trying to keep it out of the area. But provincial government went with, the marketing boards or the wheat councils and barley councils and open it up, so they're not responsible now as far as the problems that are affected by fusarium. So that's been a huge challenge and disappointing, and we've still been, I wouldn't say fighting it, but we've tried to keep it on out in the front burner with our provincial government. We invited Pat Rain to come to our meeting, and he accepted to come to our meeting here last week. So that's where it was all started. And then we can carry on with this conversation to the vets in our area here. And we kind of one of the last ones to drop the VSI. I think there's one or two maybe yet in the Peace Country. Our board wanted to make sure that this money that, or some of the money that was being funded through the VSI, we could use it for scholarships, or we were just grasping at straws trying to figure out a means of still being able to access some of that money to try and promote veterinaries in our area. And it goes back to, I guess, to the point where, you know, there is a standing by a grade system, like the ones with the higher scores get to go into these universities, and if you're not, and it seems like it's small animals that's been getting most of the scenario. And I can go back a little bit further than that too. Our provincial government dropped the funding for University of Saskatchewan here a few years ago. They put that money towards the University of Calgary, and at the same time when they were doing this transition, the large animal practices were supposed to be prioritized a little bit more, being in Calgary, because of the amount of cattle that's in Alberta, not just our county here. I mean, we got to look at the province, but it still turns out that we're getting small animal vets versus the large animal vets, so we need in this area more so.
And that was your guys' bigger concern, was getting a larger animal vet rather than small animal vet?
The small animal and the large animal goes hand in hand. They say they make their money on the small animals, and large animals is kind of break even or maybe even work in the red if it's all said and done at the end of the day. A vet that is in the town has to be able to do both. Right now, it seems like the vet that's in town, she's more than willing to do large.
Grazing leases.
Oh, the grazing leases, it's the same thing again, and we've had that on the burner for a lot of years, and I guess there's been lots of transition in land right now from the generation that's, retiring and selling it out, or a transition between producers to their sons or whatever, and it seems like as soon as you make the transition, or start to make the transition, like we aren't supposed to be running cattle on those leases per se, but yet the holder of the leases is still tied up paying the rent on it per year, but they can't, well, you don't have any cattle, so you're not accessing, you're making use of that payment going out, right? And we were promised by the provincial government that we'd see, you know, a quicker turnaround. I mean, some of these leases are going back 3, 4, 5 years. You know, it goes back to the oil industry and their loss of revenue in the province. And so when it boils down to it, I mean, we appreciated when Pat took the time, was going to take the time to come and listen to our concerns and take them forward to our provincial government. It's, we as producers, or we as a council, we've written letters and sent them to the provincial government expressing our concerns. And we've got answers back, don't get me wrong, but they're not the right answers that we'd like to hear. And I guess the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so we've been thought, well, maybe last-ditch effort, but maybe we could get our MLA in the county and address some of the issues for us.
And some of the efforts that you guys are working towards, any, like, goals that you guys are wanting for this year?
Well, everything's just ongoing. I mean, you know, like this club route is ongoing. I mean, that is to the point now where, I mean, it's up to the producers to, I guess, as a board, the information's there. We try to keep information out in front, which we haven't been able to do with COVID. But we've got to just keep the ball rolling and try to keep as much information as we can out in the public's so that they, you know, they're aware of it at all times, I guess. And we've gone through a shock system of having it, and then all of a sudden, you know, like their producers are accepting it. So,
do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
We just try to bring everything forward that we've been, you know, faced with, from phone calls, and it's just like being a politician. It's a thankless job being on a committee, but somebody's got to try and do it. And we'll get back to the fusarium, and this is something that, I mean, we done a survey on fusarium, and there was a list of questions that Sheila had put together and put them on a website or whatever, and we did have quite a few producers come back with, you know, some good answers to the questions. It gives us an idea what the producers want on fusarium. 99% of us were saying, like, let's try to keep it regulated and as under control as possible. And the reins got loosened from the provincial side of it. So, like, we're very fortunate our local seed cleaning plant in town is going to nip it in the bud as much as they can as far as cleaning goes or whatever. So they want seed tested before it hits the plant and the whole nine yards now, just to keep it out of the plant. So.